Back here on Downtown on a Thursday afternoon, celebrating the 55th anniversary of the start of Woodstock today. 5 o'clock hour, our conversation with Woodstock PA announcer Chip Monk. Up first, though, we'll talk a little Red Sox. To do that, we got on board the telephone line and welcome in Sean McAdam from Mass Live. Hello there, Sean.
Hello there, Rich. I know a few years ago I was fortunate enough to visit the site of the original Woodstock, and that was quite a thing to be able to stand in that field and look at the enormity of it, even though it was empty, of course, at the time.
Well, and of course, you and I, and it gives me great pleasure to say this, you and I were just too young to be there, although might have wanted to.
Yes, I was not yet 10. So my parents were not big on me disappearing for 72 hours in a field a couple hundred miles away.
Just grab your bindle stick, put out your thumb, and make your way to New York.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk a little Red Sox here this afternoon. A tough one last night, and as you wrote about today at MassLive.com, if you're going to be a playoff team, those are the kind of games you can't afford to give away.
Yeah, twice blowing leads in the late innings. The fourth time they have blown leads in the ninth inning or later, just since the All-Star break. So there's been four games in which they have led in either the ninth or tenth innings and gone on to lose. You know, that can't happen when you're trying to play catch-up and pass some teams in front of you, or at least pull even with the Kansas Cities and Minnesotas. And then that doesn't even begin to take into account, as bad as the bullpen was, some of the fundamental errors and the defensive miscues. An error by Hamilton allowed a tying run to score. Earlier in the game, Rafael Devers lost track of outs and got doubled up at first, almost cost him another run. And then a baffling play on what should have been the game-ending double play, which Romy Gonzalez leaped off the bag for a throw that was high, but kind of chin high and certainly catchable without any extra effort. So the sad thing is you could point to about five different areas last night where they kind of kicked that one away.
Well, and it's been, as you mentioned, a different team since the All-Star break, and no one thing, certainly the pitching has not been what it was throughout the first half of the season, but a lot of fundamental mistakes, some base running errors, a lack of some clutch hitting, and injuries have certainly played a part of that, as well as I'm sure a lot of pitchers reaching an innings tally that maybe they haven't been at for a while, if ever.
Yeah, I mean, in the bullpen, they've been without Slayton for a while, who was a big contributor in the first half. They missed Chris Martin. His value is obvious if you've been watching the last year and a half. He missed more than a month with elbow inflammation. He's been great since coming back, but, you know, they didn't feel comfortable sending him out for a second inning last night after he got out of that first and third jam in the eighth. They didn't want to present him with too much of a workload on his fourth outing back since coming off the IL. And you've had guys like Zach Kelly, who were big contributors in the first half, seemingly hit a wall here in the last month, and it's caught up to him in a big way. And of course, it's not just the bullpen, it's the rotation and the inability to eat innings on a regular basis so that you're into your bullpen in the fifth and sixth inning every night and having to get, you know, 12 or 13 or 11 outs, that adds up after a while and it takes its toll.
And, of course, all of that exacerbated by the loss of James Paxton out for at least a couple of weeks, but possibly longer than that. And with the trade deadline having passed, options are pretty limited on where to go for help.
Yeah, I think they're going to go back to Cooper Criswell. In fact, he may well pitch tomorrow in Baltimore. That is Paxton's spot, as it were, in the rotation, which obviously he will not be able to take. In a best-case scenario, maybe he comes back at the end of September or early October, but watching this guy hobble around on crutches in the clubhouse the last few days, I don't feel too optimistic that that's going to happen. So Criswell's got to step up and be that number five starter, because other than that, you know, you're looking at bullpen games or turning the ball over to somebody at AAA like Priester, the kid they got from Pittsburgh at the deadline, who's more of a long-term project. Richard Fitz, part of the Verdugo deal last winter, who has not pitched in the big leagues before. Those are not options that you would feel super confident about in the middle of a playoff race.
Well, speaking of Alex Verdugo, watching social media last night, it seems like his honeymoon may be over in the Bronx.
Yeah, I can't say that surprises me greatly. I figured this would play out pretty much as it did. That is a big start where he's motivated early, looks upon this as a fresh opportunity, a chance to show the Red Sox they were wrong, just like he had a chance to show the Dodgers they were wrong when they put him in the best deal. But it never sustains itself. It's always, you know, a hot 6 weeks or 2 months, and then he either alienates teammates and his manager and coaching staff, or the performance just hits a wall, or both. And you've got to consider, I'm sure the Yankees do at this point, him to be an underwhelming presence on that team this year.
We're talking with Sean McAdam here on Downtown. Well, a guy who's had a renaissance year on the field, but then the incident over the weekend has certainly tainted the performance of Jarren Duran. It's been impressive to watch his development as a player this year, and Alex Cora has talked about how hard he's worked and doing things the right way. And yet, to me, the sort of triple whammy of the incident over the weekend at Fenway with a fan, with a word that to me just doesn't spring into your head out of nowhere. You don't say that unless it's been part of your vocabulary for a while. The news I saw too, that he's been writing expletives on his wristbands. You put that together, and then he showed up for the press conference wearing a shirt with an expletive on it. Does he get it?
Yeah, it's a fair question to ask, Rich. He kind of said all the right things. He was obviously kind of defeated and defensive in his remarks. And, you know, just to clarify, the stuff on the wristbands and the wording on the T-shirt are related to his battle with some mental health challenges, which he has done a good job with, and he's to be congratulated for overcoming some depression and anxiety issues. Those have no doubt been difficult battles for him, and the fact that he had such a great first half, followed by the All-Star Game heroics and the MVP of the All-Star Game, he's going to end up with, you know, probably close to 20 triples and more than 20 home runs and more than 30 stolen bases. He's played Gold Glove caliber outfield. Those are all great things, but you know, to not understand that at a time when you are supposed to be demonstrating some contrition and acknowledging your missteps, that a defiant message on your shirt, even if it's well-intended given the backstory and how it has been used in his battle against mental health challenges, was just not a good look. I'm not going to sit here and clutch pearls and say, oh my goodness, a four-letter word. We've all said that from time to time, and I understand the context of it originally, but that was neither the time or place to display that.
Absolutely. Well said. Well, I feel like with this team, especially starting this series with the Orioles tonight, I feel like it could go either way, that they could rally, have a great series, and continue a run at a postseason spot. But it seems like a team that's kind of in the balance, and if the dominoes start to go, things could fall apart fairly quickly.
Yeah, this is a challenging road trip, certainly, with four in Baltimore against what is essentially a first-place team, whether they're a half game or a game either way, behind the Yankees or ahead. They've been one of the best teams in the American League this year. There's a lot of young talent. They're an impressive group. And then that follows three games in Houston, a team that just came in and swept the Red Sox over the weekend and has sort of been their nemesis the last however long you want to go back, except for October of 2018, the Astros have had the Red Sox number over the last five, six, 7 years. So it is a challenging stretch of the schedule, and I agree, it does feel like they're kind of at an inflection point here with the demands of the schedule, time starting to run out. There's a little bit more than a month and a half to go in the season, and they really can't afford to fall too further out of the race.
Sean McAdam, Mass Live, with us here on Downtown. Sean, appreciate it. As always, enjoy the game tonight, and we will talk with you again very soon.
Sounds good, Rich. Thanks.
Thank you. Sean McAdam, read his work at masslive.com. Follow